Salam dear listeners and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. Today is the 28th episode of this series and by Bhagwan's grace, we have in the studios now once again Mr. Kishore Madham Shettivar, endearingly called as Kishore Sir by all of us here. We had him perhaps 2 weeks ago as we were discussing chapter 9 and so very beautifully gave us a nice exposition of the management of ego that Swami was talking about in that part of the chapter 9 paragraphs. And sir is someone who has lot of experience teaching these kind of subjects in the university. Professionally, he is a B.Tech, a bachelor's in engineering, which he did in dairy technology, and after that he worked in Nestle, one of India's leading dairy companies, for 7 years, and subsequently he joined Bhagwan's university to pursue his master's in business administration, and he taught in the university for more than 15, 17 years, teaching the students in the Department of Management Studies, teaching self-awareness and personality development and many other subjects, rural development. And during all this period, Bhagwan was very gracious to guide him, to also interact with him and enable him to ensure that the focus of the students are always in the right direction. He's someone who had corporate experience. So he was someone who was able to guide a lot of students onto the path of balancing spiritual education as with secular education. So it's a wealth of guidance from Bhagwan, wealth of knowledge after the study of many scriptures, study of the lives of many saints, many faiths. So we are really very grateful to Bhagwan that sir is with us here to share his insights as we move on to the chapter 10 of Prema Vahini. So let's start this session by listening to the first segment of chapter 10 and then we'll listen to Kishore sir share his insights.
భక్తులు కాగోరు వారి లక్ష్యము. ప్రకృతిలో ఈ అశాంతి, అక్రమము, అసత్యమును దూరం చేసుకుని సత్యధర్మ ప్రేమ ప్రశాంతులకు ప్రయత్నించుటే సాధన. దానినే భక్తి అందరు. అట్టి భక్తులు కాగోరువారు, పరమాత్ముని పొందగోరువారు, లోక కళ్యాణమును చేయగోరువారు, లోకుల దూషణ, ఆక్షేపణ, సిగ్గు ఎగ్గులను తృణప్రాయంగా తలంచి ధైర్యముతో తమ యథార్థముపై పూర్ణ విశ్వాసముంచి ధీరులై తమ సాధనను సాగించవలెను.
రిమూవింగ్ ఇన్జస్టిస్, రెస్ట్లెస్నెస్ అండ్ అన్ట్రూత్ ఫ్రమ్ ద వరల్డ్ అండ్ స్ట్రైవింగ్ టు ఫాస్టర్ ఇట్ విత్ ట్రూత్, రైచియస్నెస్, లవ్ అండ్ సుప్రీం పీస్ ఇస్ సాధన. దిస్ ఇస్ వాట్ ఇస్ కాల్డ్ యాజ్ భక్తి ఆర్ డివోషన్. పీపుల్ విత్ సచ్ డివోషన్ who aspire to attain the Lord and work for the welfare of mankind, considering all blame and criticism, shame and praise as absolutely insignificant, courageously have complete faith on their ultimate reality and achieve their sadhana heroically.
So Bhagwan here is giving a definition of what is sadhana and he's equating that sadhana to bhakti. So Kishore sir, as you listen to Bhagwan's words in this 10th chapter of Prema Vahini, what comes to you as the first thought? Yeah, please go on sir.
Let me first invoke Ekadantaya Vidmahe Vakratundaya Dhimahi తన్నో దంతిం ప్రచోదయాత్. పుటపతి స్థితం దేవా పుటపతి చక్రవర్తి వందేశ్వరం వాసుతం వందే జగద్గురుం భగవాన్ శ్రీ 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 సత్య సాయి నాథాయ శరణం ప్రభో. పుష్టి భాయ్ అండ్ సిజి భాయ్, యాక్చువల్లీ ఇట్ ఈస్ అ బ్లెస్సింగ్ టు మీ టు రిఫ్లెక్ట్ ఆన్ దిస్ టీచింగ్ ఆఫ్ స్వామి. మూమెంట్ పుష్టి ఆస్క్ మీ వాట్ ఈస్ ద ఫస్ట్ థాట్ దట్ కమ్స్ టు మీ is this: bhakti as per Satya Sai Baba. There may be many people on this earth with wisdom and mission who are trying to follow on the footsteps of Satya Sai Baba, and he says what normally understood as bhakti is not the definition which Swami says as bhakti. Bhakti is not mere ritualism. Bhakti is not mere ritualism, and it is not centered to individual growth alone.
Yes.
It is not centered to individual growth alone. Avatar's mission is not for individuals, but it is for the whole humanity. So what is that? Bhakti should lead to all that what has been said here in the first paragraph. This is what strikes to me in the first place. Correct?
Yes.
But having that bhakti for the purpose which he has explained, in true sense, the bhakti should strive to get all this which he has mentioned in the first line, removing injustice, etc.
Yes.
That person should have the characteristics which is mentioned below. That is, he should be above blame, praise, etc., which he categorically mentioned once. Bhagavan said, what is the nature of my devotee? In one symbolic definition. And I must confess, I have not attained that level of devotion yet, which is the rarest gift I am seeking from him. And Bhagavan says, if you cut a sandalwood tree with a knife, the sandalwood tree gives fragrance to the knife which cuts it. My devotee is this sandalwood tree. One should have the nature, his swabhava should be like this sandalwood tree.
Wow.
That is what he has explained in the next lines. With people with such devotion who aspire to attain the Lord and work for the welfare of mankind, considering all blame and criticism, shame and praise as absolutely insignificant, courageously have complete faith on their ultimate reality and achieve their sadhana heroically. Let us take Swami's own life.
Yeah, that's exactly what was coming to my mind too. Yeah, please go on, sir.
There are ample of stories right from his childhood when he declared who is he.
Yes.
Till now, and it may continue in future, unfortunately. Jnanis have said he is supreme. But those who have no wisdom, they have their own ideas about God. They talk so much against Swami, and he bears all this. Yet he serves everybody.
Yes.
You want to ask something?
No. I was just reflecting exactly on this. I remember when, from Bhagwan's childhood, when Swami, for a very brief period, comes home, and you know, we know that episode of how Bhagwan was carrying water for his brother's family and also for the neighbors there. And mother is giving birth, and mother sees that thickened skin
scar
on his shoulder, and mother asks, and Swami just evades that query from the mother, and but mother insists, and then Swami finally he gives in, and he says, "That is nothing, mother. That is, you know, anyway, I am just bringing water. And how will they survive otherwise? Because, you know, they need water. And because I was getting, the neighbors also wanted, so I got for them also." But the mother says, "No, but why do you have to do this? We didn't send you for this." And then Swami says, "No, but I have come for this only. I have come for serving only."
Okay. Moment this statement is made, people who are missionary zeal, that I must do something. There are so many people who boil and fume against injustice. But I must mention here, this struggle against injustice should be sadhana, bhakti, and decorum and discipline. If we are talking about Satya Sai Baba, his mission and his kingdom and his ways, I must say that task is so stupendous, so gigantic, and I felt I am so fragile. I also feel I should contribute to this, but I feel I am so fragile. But one name comes to me at this juncture, a great man, great bhakta of Rama, and a crusader of peace and devotion, whose works have inspired millions of people in the past and will continue to inspire millions in the future. Goswami Tulsidas ji. From one of his stanza, I personally draw inspiration. In fact, this stupendous task of removing injustice, etc., etc., from the society, is to go against the evil. Is to go against evil. And to go against evil, I felt I am so fragile. But Tulsidas ji quotes one nice example. And what happened once, Tulsidas ji was trying to write Ramcharitmanas. He was sitting near the banks of Ganga in Varanasi, and he was not able to download from his links. So his work stopped, probably link failure. There was really a link failure from the ethereal domain. And he was taken aback. What has happened? I am getting no idea. Ramcharitmanas is not complete. But nothing is coming to my mind. And he looked into Ganges. Someone guided him to look into Ganga. And he looked into Ganga and he saw something. And that gave him inspiration. A vibration came to him and he started writing Ramcharitmanas with one particular shlok, and then it just went on until the end. It never stopped again. And that shlok, to me, is a climax of Ramcharitmanas. And a guideline for anybody, howsoever gigantic may be task, howsoever tough may be the struggle, to attain what Bhagwan Baba has said. That inspires me. And that shloka is, Jo ja ko शरण गयो वाकहवा को लाज, वाकहवा को लाज, उल्टे जल मछली चले, उल्टे जल मछली चले, बहुजात गजराज, बहुजात गजराज। सियावर रामचंद्र की जय। What he actually saw, very interesting, inspiring. Please look into this carefully and sincerely. He saw a small fish traveling against the mighty current of Padar Ganga, a fragile animal, and he felt, oh my goodness, oh Mother Ganga, this small fragile fish, because it has surrendered to you, and now because it has surrendered to you, you have to protect his honor. And to protect its honor, you are allowing it to flow against your own mighty currents. And that mighty elephant, because it didn't surrender to you, is getting washed along the currents, along with currents. Bahujat gajaraja. Bhagya. Hati bhagya. Aur choti si machli tar gai. So, I may be fish, not elephant, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Sai Karya, even if we have to struggle against the evil, when surrender is complete, God will give us mighty strength to establish this righteousness, dharma sansthapanarthaya sambhavame yuge yuge. One name comes to me of a great messenger of God and son of God at this moment of time, the crusader of peace, son of God, Jesus. But he said, slowly I want to come to an important point. There are so many people fuming, boiling against injustice. Not fuming, not boiling. What we need is sublimation. To be messenger of God, we need sublimation. Jesus said, in Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who do hunger and thirst and are for the sake of righteousness and justice and are persecuted. Please note down that mission of Jesus and all his followers, so non-violent, so loving, so caring, so much of mercy. And they all were persecuted, and they were all so non-violent. This is one set of people, correct? But we have a big history. Avatar comes for dharma sthapana. I am removing my own contradictions. I am not teaching anybody. I appreciate this wavelength of Swami. But mere appreciation means nothing. If I have to be in the fold of Satya Sai, means there has to be a decorum which he wants. Let us take example of Krishna. There is a great contradiction. When I read this for the first time, I had a contradiction. One side is mission of Jesus, so non-violent, so peaceful, struggling hard against injustice. And another is our own avatar, Lord Krishna. He fought battle.
Yes.
The biggest battle we have ever heard so far in the history. Then, we say, Bhagavan is talking about establishing dharma, an order. Ahimsa paramo dharma. But Bhagavan in his previous avatar as Krishna, he fought battles. This contradiction I overcame, and now I am at peace, I agree fully with what is required at this moment at this juncture of time. Bhagavan has clarified this at length. He has taken total pain and he has gone sincerely into every part of Mahabharata Yuddha, explained in, very nicely explained in Summer Roses on Blue Mountain book, the summer course, Uti summer course. Worth reading. You will come to tears when you understand Krishna and his mission and his Leela through that book. And Bhagavan said, people say Krishna is a warmonger. And he also said Ahimsa Paramo Dharma. But Bhagavan has explained. Intention behind the act and the act both have to be weighed together before judgment is passed. What was the intention of Krishna? To remove adharma and to protect dharma. It is not Hitler-like war. It is not Mussolini type of war. So Bhagavan says, it was a last resort and not the first resort.
Correct.
Why I am coming to these explanations? Because when Pushti asked me, what struck to your mind first? What struck to my mind first was, moment I read the first para, going by the first line, okay, let us do something now. Krishna also did war. We also fight war. No. First let me have wisdom of Krishna. Let me be on the part of that side where Krishna is. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, tatra partha dhanurdhara. There has to be Krishna, there has to be Arjuna. So let me be first on that side. Okay. Times have changed. Dharma, desha, kala, paristhiti. According to change of times, God also changes his ways. So my boiling blood became cool when I read Swami's Summer Roses on Blue Mountain. Having stayed with Swami, now I understood. What is that? In current times and those days, what is the difference? Purposely I am taking this to a certain end. This paragraph is very, very, very crucial. Very crucial paragraph. Those days, Bhagavan has explained there are three types of yuga, mainly four types of yuga. Treta Yuga, Krita Yuga, Dwapada Yuga and Kali Yuga. In Treta Yuga and Krita Yuga, bad and good, they were two different categories of people. Correct, sir?
Yes.
And then came Dwapara Yuga. Good and bad people, evil-minded and good-minded people, came in the same family, Pandava and Kaurava. But in Kali Yuga, good and evil is present in everybody. And that is why Bhagavan Baba said, if I have to remove wicked people, no one will be spared. So, he will bring righteousness upon whom? Through those means. So those means are redundant in avataric mission of bringing righteousness. And I have to follow in the same wavelength. That is why when you say what struck to me first, my boiling blood, was first pacified and direction to our sadhana and be in line with Swami's thinking cleared. What is more important is to remove wickedness. Now let us see. A definition from Dharmavaini is also essential at this juncture. As for me, it is what Bhagavan is giving, a decorum to go ahead to foster world peace and our sadhana. It is, in my language, it is evolutionary revolution.
Evolutionary revolution, yes.
Evolutionary revolution. Two examples come to my mind. Swami Vivekananda and Mahatma Gandhi, who tried to establish and order, bring peace and remove slavery. Vivekananda used his words like swords to communicate to people his knowledge and wisdom and make people live like human beings. First, Mahatma Gandhi's example is known to everybody. Please see this. Missionaries of those orders, they encompass whole humanity. Millions were ready to jump into the mission of Mahatma Gandhi. Same type of feature, same characteristics they had, as mentioned by Swami in the second paragraph. Look at the second paragraph. With what they were possessed? A noble cause of good order and removal of slavery through non-violence. How? Mahatma Gandhi explains, unfortunately, I don't have that communion yet with God. And it is said, Bhagavan said this very clearly, faith on their ultimate reality.
Yes.
Faith on their ultimate reality means communion with God within. It is not mere faith, but I would go one step ahead. Communion. Mahatma Gandhi, he explained to people that how he got this. I must tell this story here.
Sure.
Because Swami says, love, service and sadhana are the three disciplines in our hostel. Service. Mahatma Gandhi, he said, once he was serving people in plague camp in Johannesburg. And late night he was serving somewhere. And one lady told, see, you are a great man, you are born for a great cause. They are all people here affected with plague. You please go, you will die. You are needed for some other cause. There was an old Christian missionary lady nurse there. And she said, go. Mahatma Gandhi said, you are also a human being. You have no fear of death. Then why should I be afraid? Then he made a statement. My death is not decided by germs.
Wow.
My death is not decided by germs. You are also a human being. Every cause is noble. And he stayed there. And Mahatma Gandhiji mentions, late in the night or early dawn morning hours, he got into communion with that ultimate reality which Swami mentions we should have faith in that reality. And he said, when he looks back into the time, when Mahatma Gandhiji looks back into the time, he said, that silence of communion, intangible silence, was always my guiding force all through my life. That sustained his mission. Non-violent, absolutely non-violence, struggle for peace and justice and freedom. I have purposely quoted these two examples. I want to take shelter. If you have any question, please stop me.
Yeah, please, sir. Please go on. I think definitely Mahatma Gandhi and Vivekananda are absolutely, they demonstrate that courage, that faith and that heroism, spiritual heroism,
yes,
that everyone talks about.
They have used their words as swords. Baba's mission is very clear. We have, sir, in the recent past, I have myself been witness to some such things in Punjab. And Baba brought me here. I used to fight with him in his photo in Punjab. And I used to say, Bhagwan, what is this? These are all we see, big missions in current times. These are misguided mission of Dharma Sthapana.
Yes.
Because, first, the word Dharma itself has to be understood. And Bhagwan mentions this very clearly. Bhagwan says, if you want to establish Dharma, first know what is Dharma. in clear sense. Then the means and ends will be put together properly. And he says, who in Dharmavaini it is mentioned very clearly, whether you are Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Sikh, Jain, anybody, it is a universal definition given by Satya Sai Baba. And we are trying to follow in his footsteps, we have to agree with all that he said. And he says, those people, any individual, by whichever way he is striving to remove the six enemies within, kama, krodha, mada, moha, matsara, lobha, is certainly on the path of dharma. And in the next statement he says, when this is so, how can you consider the act of killing animals in the name of dharma and offer sacrifices? Because people found it is difficult to kill the animal within, they started killing animal in front of God. So therefore, I have to have this decorum first. That's why Bhagavan says, I have come to remove wickedness. To remove wickedness. So anybody who is removing wickedness within is really blessed soul to participate in Satya Sai Baba Dharma Sthapana Karya. Because the decorum of Satya Sai Baba is different. We have to terrorize our own tamas.
Yes.
What do you say?
Absolutely, yes.
Mm.
We have to terrorize all that is unpleasant within us. I think that is what is the true crusade against terrorism.
But what do you say about people who have misunderstood religion? What to do? Tell me. We are going to meet, thanks to Swami, whether I am able to put everything into practice or not, but I have understood. Now what to do? We are going to serve, we have to serve everybody. Tell me now, what to do? I have overcome this difficulty for me, and I am sharing. Each one will have his own way. There is no one way. I have come to understand this. How to look at this situation when people are deluded in the basic definition of dharma and the decorum required to bring about peace. Then I first felt Baba means decorum. Then what? Next. There should be no retaliation. When people talk about mission of dharma sthapana, it is not tit for tat now. It is I am that. I am that. From tit, from tat to I am that. Second, that is Jnana Marga. Second, oh, I see all these people, what to do now? Then I must say, either we say pity or serve, whichever way, or digest this diversity. How to digest? या देवी सर्वभूतेषु भ्रांतिरूपेण संस्थिता नमस्तस्यै 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 नमो नमः
भ्रांतिरूपेण इल्यूजन
इन दुर्गा सप्तशती वी कम अक्रॉस दिस या देवी सर्वभूतेषु दयारूपेण संस्थिता नमस्तस्यै 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 नमो नमः या देवी सर्वभूतेषु शुधारूपेण संस्थिता नमस्तस्यै 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 नमो नमः या देवी सर्वभूतेषु कांतिरूपेण संस्थिता नमस्तस्यै 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 नमो नमः ओ डिवाइन मदर I have to salute you in all this diversity. And the worst of the diversity is this bhranti. That is, mother, you are alone present even in people like me who are under bhranti, illusion, errors. Because not all, Bhagavan has mentioned, dharma glani, yada yadai dharmasya glani bhavati bharata. Glani means not destruction, but decline in the practice of dharma. For example, what is truth remains truth. Those definitions are not diluted. Only practice may decline. So we have to terrorize the tamas within and to flow against this evil. I feel surrender to that supreme force. And just like Tulsidas ji saw, even a small fish could go against the current of Ganga. Why not me? Even I should be able to go against these currents of evil, first within me and outside.
Wow. Amazing. I mean, I'm reminded of Martin Luther King, who said that our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter.
Oh, so nice. By the way, Martin Luther King Jr., a glaring example of follower of Mahatma Gandhi.
Yes.
Non-violent crusader of peace. Here I am reminded of something now. A drastic change in the culture. You see, why all these problems start? Bhagavan is bound to end this. I am sure. I am sure about it. One great jnani, my guru, told me on 11th March 2011, he told me this. He said, Satya Sai Baba's real mission is yet to begin. Nobody has seen his total power being manifested, yet even I have not seen, but I know what it is. Look, sir, that's why Baba used to say, Oka chetulo anubhavam pettaru, oka chetuto chetu paina chey chaptaru, shanti, 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 vishwa shanti elostundi. You have atom bomb in one hand, and the other hand you raise and say, I will bring vishwa shanti. No, it is not possible. Well, it is God's design that time should decline so much, but I tell you, this is the right time. If you are little inclined to practice, good things will be lifted up soon.
Yes.
Kali Yuga is the best time to practice good things.
Yes. You have a lot of push from the divine.
How much time is left?
In fact, as you mentioned about Mahatma Gandhi and Vivekananda, again, two fantastic sources of inspiration for the youth of the times.
Yes.
And whenever I think about Swami Vivekananda's teachings, and you know, many times when you read Bhagavan's literature and then you see the path that Swami Vivekananda followed, you can actually find the same thing resonating in so many ways. In fact, here in this paragraph, when you have very clearly, Bhagavan is saying that sadhana is all about removing injustice, restlessness and untruth. It is not about your personal liberation. It is about ensuring that the society becomes a better place. The society is onto the path of goodness, onto the path of peace and righteousness. And in fact, I remember when Swami Vivekananda returned from the US and he was trying to take all the brother monks and brother disciples onto this path, and everyone felt that Vivekananda has completely misinterpreted the master. There was a lot of opposition to Swami Vivekananda at that point in time. In fact, he was ridiculed, and they said, you know, because all these monks, they wanted to sit, you know, away from the world. They wanted to just do their meditation.
Seclusion.
And you know, we are monks, and So in fact, there was one person who challenged and he says, why are you putting us, you know, all this, you're asking us to go out in the world and all this is Maya. You know, why are you asking us to get into Maya? So Vivekananda asks, what is it that you think we should? We should be striving for mukti. And Vivekananda said, is that mukti not Maya? You are thinking that mukti is not Maya. Is that mukti not Maya?
Correct.
If you want that your atma should experience mukti, that atma doesn't need mukti. Atma is already attained. The atma is already free. So, what is it that you are trying to achieve? And that is how he actually slowly tried to clear the cobwebs. And because most of the time people, because master, just like Bhagwan, very difficult to understand the master. The master, yes, followed a lot of rituals. And if you looked at Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa superficially, you will think that is the way towards spirituality. But as Swami Vivekananda says, my master can be understood in infinite ways, in infinite dimensions. And he was the voice of the master, who was able to channelize and understand the mission of the master. And that's how when he started the mission, also he said it has to bear the name of the master, and they call it Ramakrishna Mission. And I remember the very, very powerful interactions that Swami Vivekananda has after he comes back from the U.S. In fact, to this young monk who says that, you know, I'm not able to, I've mentioned this before also, you know, this monk who tries to meditate and he's not able to reach anywhere, and then once he goes to Vivekananda and he says, sir, I sit still in meditation, I shut the door of my room, I keep my eyes closed, you know, but I don't find any peace in my mind. Can you please, you know, guide me? And that is when Swami Vivekananda says, with a lot of sympathy and love, he says, my boy, if you take my word, you will first of all open the door of your room and look around instead of closing your eyes. And then he says, there are hundreds of poor and helpless people in your neighborhood. You have to serve them to the best of your ability. You will have to nurse and procure food and medicine for the sick. You will have to feed those who have nothing to eat. You will have to teach the ignorant. My advice to you is that if you want peace of your mind, you shall have to serve others to the best of your ability.
I want to add something to this. Pushti really gave insight from Vivekananda's words. That's why I said, they had words and wisdom and no swords. There are two categories of people, basically two. Satanic joy and sattvic joy.
Yes.
Satanic joy and sattvic joy. I would like to say, mere ritualism. I want to end by coming to the first line of the paragraph which we began. Mere ritualism. And there is a difference between spiritualism,
yes,
and sadhana. Mere ritualism in Hindi, we can say perverted spiritualism, perverted spirituality. Perversion of religious dictums. Perversion. Muh mein Ram, bagal mein chura. That is, Ram, Ram, Ram on the tongue, and I have a dagger in the hand. No, no. Therefore, big mission, misguided missions to establish peace with wrong means. I happened to meet a great saint once when I was going through this literature of Swami.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talked once long ago, I was thinking about means and ends. More important than what Swami has told this here, it strikes to me immediately. Means and ends. Krishna's times were different. If you are children of Satya Sai, and path of Satya Sai to be part of this mission of righteousness, peace and justice, we have to look at means and end, both. What should be the means for these ends? One great saint told me, with right means, end is bound to be good.
Mm.
But there cannot be wrong means for a good end.
There cannot be wrong means for a good end.
That's why this paragraph is very, very crucial. And he has made it clear, have faith in your ultimate reality. And ultimate reality is not Saturn, but ultimate reality is Sattva and Atma. Therefore, we have to terrorize the tamas within and not become perverted religious people, but people with decorum of those who are removing animals within and part of this mission of righteousness. This is my inspiration, personal inspiration that I draw by reading this and being in company of people like Pushti and CJ. And I am so grateful to organizers of today's session, and I offer it to our dearest Bhagwan. Thank you so much. Jai Sai Ram.
Jai Sai Ram, sir. Thank you so much. And in fact, as you concluded, I just reminded of one little anecdote. I was just reading the life of Professor Kasturi, you know. And sometime it happened in the 70s that this was mentioned to me by Professor Anil Kumar. Anil Kumar sir had just come to Bhagwan, the first time that he was coming to Prashant Nilayam, and you know, he had four children, and the older one was 5 years old, and so there was a little one on his arms, and somehow, you know, Prashanti at that point in time also didn't have so many facilities. We're talking about 70s, and he was looking for water, and he happened to see Professor Kasturi sir, and so he asked, sir, can I get some water? And Swami has already was about to come, and you know, everybody was rushing for darshan, and Professor Kasturi said, yes. And so he said, sir, I'm sorry if you're going to get late for darshan. And Professor Kasturi said, no, don't worry, Swami will be happy if I first give you water than me going for darshan. This is what Swami will like. And you know, to Professor Anil Kumar, he says, you know, that was the first time I was coming to Prashanti Nilayam, and that is what has remained in his mind, you know. And that is what has remained in his mind about Prashanti Nilayam, about the experience of being here, and also about Professor Kasturi. And today I was just thinking, you know, so Professor Kasturi is one, again, someone, an exalted devotee of the Lord, and someone who was picked by Bhagwan to do such fantastic work of writing his life. And for him, that sadhana was to ensure that you're spreading peace, to ensure that you're practicing love, ensure that, you know, you're following that path of dharma. And that is what is sadhana. So I think here very beautifully Bhagwan equates that sadhana is only when you take to the path of practicing truth, take to the path of practicing love, take to the path of making the world a better place. And if you're doing that, then you're already a devotee. Then you're already practicing bhakti. And of course, there will be challenges. And I think the very beautiful example that sir gave also here of the sandalwood tree, I think every devotee, I think that is something that we all of us can remember, that if you are a devotee, then whenever we come across challenges, if we can remember that I have to be like the sandalwood tree. And you know, whenever I think about tree, in fact, another very beautiful thing that Swami once mentioned to students in the Trai Vrindavan, Swami was talking about a field, and there is a road, and on one on one half of the road, on one side of the road, the land is dry and the trees are not green, the trees are dry. And on the other side, you have all the trees which are green, which are prosperous, and but it's the same field. And they have experienced the same sunlight, they have experienced the same rain, they experience the same sort of nutrients, and what is the difference? And the Swami asked this question to all the boys actually, and then Swami answered saying the only difference is where there is greenery, it is because the roots of those tree have gone deep. And Swami says it's the same with my grace also. So just like there is rain and there is sunshine, so my grace is already there. It's there on all, but Swami says you can experience maximum joy and benefit from it only if you go deep. So we are those sort of trees where which receives a lot of sun, which receives a lot of rain from God. But if we have to make use of it, then we have to go deep, and only then you can benefit from all that. And I think only when we do that, as Sir also very beautifully mentioned, only when we have that faith in that ultimate reality, which is the connect with the inner Swami, that is when, only when you bolster our inner self, we can say that we are on the path of sadhana. So I think Bhagwan has defined what is sadhana as he begins this chapter 10, and there is lot more in this chapter 10. Bhagwan has explained many very beautiful concepts, and let us pray to Swami that he guides us as we begin to unravel the beautiful directions that Bhagwan shares with us in this 10th chapter of Premavahini. So dear listeners, if you have any queries or comments, please feel free to write to us. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. With grateful pranams to Bhagwan for enabling us to continue this discussion on Premavahini, and thanks to Kishore sir for joining us, we bring this session and this day-long Thursday Live to a close as an offering at his lotus feet. Thank you so much. Sairam.
Sairam.